Welcome to Digitally Creative. I'm your host, Vincent Ferrari, and making their triumphant return to the show after a two-year hiatus, the one and only, well, the two and only, Kim and Garrett. What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Hello.
What is up, Vincent? How you been?
Doing good. So just going to put this out there at the beginning of the episode, because you might hear us once or twice say, I think we said that, but I'm not sure. We did this recording 2 days ago. And we're doing it again because for the first time in the 3 years that I've been using Zencastr, we actually lost a recording. It's the first time it's ever happened. And of course, it happens when I have a guest, not when I'm doing a show on my own. So welcome back, guys. And thanks for coming back on a second time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us back. With our track record of technical difficulties.
Yeah. Oh, right. It is. It's, yeah, we're famous for that. And I think it was our fault anyway. We saw an error message pop up, but everything else seemed to be good. So We thought we were good. We had green lights. And then I think it was, we figured out what happened at the end. So.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. As long as it's not some mysterious thing, then I can feel a little bit better about it. So how have you guys been? And I should set the stage actually a little bit. So the last time you were on, you guys were regaling us with horror tales about how your whole business had taken over your whole house, how your dining room had become a ship station, how you'd enslaved the children to be your employees. Why don't you give us a little bit of an update on where you are now as compared to where you were 2 years ago, the last time you were on?
Well, like you said, it has taken over the whole house. Well, it actually took over the entire house. The only safe places were our bedrooms, like literally our bedrooms. There was stuff in the hallways. There was stuff. We would clear off the counter and put it somewhere to eat dinner.
Yes.
And then we have to move it back because there's stuff everywhere.
Yes.
And to catch people up, you have decor kits like porch leaners and door signs and stuff like that, that you laser cut the stuff and basically make DIY kits for people. So these aren't like small things that you can just like put in a drawer or put on a couple of shelves.
That's right. You can't put it in a little box and set it aside.
It's not going in your pocket.
It's not going in your pocket.
Unlike the pocket saw.
Mainly like door hangers or door signs, door rounds, about 16 inches.
Oh, wow.
And they're 18 inches.
Yeah.
And they were everywhere. We had them. Well, they're everywhere now. And so we finally moved out of our house. We hunted for a long time. It was like 6 months of hunting, and then we'd catch something and we'd get on it and they'd be like, oh, you just missed it. Or we want like $1,000 a square foot.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. And then we finally I think it was Craigslist. I just went out to Craigslist to scan one last time before we gave up. And I found this place and we met the owner and the owner
random
is
random number
awesome.
To speak to a random person.
Yeah, just and a I random like... person. And I was like,
wow,
that was too good to be true.
It was.
Yeah,
yes,
it was like, yes. it was in our price range. It had plenty of space. We would never fill up something this size that's full right now.
Wait till you come back in 2 years and you're like, well, so now we have a 6-story building in the center of Virginia.
Yep, in a high rise.
Yep.
Wearing my 3-piece suits. Got a pocket watch.
Yeah.
Deluxe apartment in the sky.
That's right. Moving on up. That's how I do it. No. So, yeah, we moved in here, and we mainly got it because there's like 3,000 square foot of warehouse space. Mm-hmm. So we moved our laser in, and then we had a big 100 watt, and we ended up getting two more lasers of the same size back there. And we are running shipping and production and everything back there. And we just set up one of the offices as our little YouTube studio.
Well, right. When we moved in, what was funny is we had more office space than we thought we would get. And we really were hoping for a room or two. And we ended up with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 6 rooms. And I was like, oh, well, we'll just make one of these rooms like an employee lounge area. And then we'll just I don't know this what we'll do with kitchen. this space, we'll leave it empty. And
but then we had this big this place used to be a Little Rascal like sales office place.
Yes, like scooters.
And the front room was a showroom for all of the Little Rascals in it.
Oh, wow.
Had that Little Rascal showroom feel to it.
Had some spotlights so that they could highlight some of the medical equipment.
So I was like, hey, we already have a showroom. Let's just go put some stuff out in the showroom. And Kim was like, no, we have to make it over. I don't want it to look like a Little Rascal showroom. Okay, so we started to make it over, and then as we started, we were like, we should turn this into a workshop where people can come and do workshops with us and paint our signs like we do and do it and hang out with us. And that's what it has turned into. So now we have like a whole workshop in the back. And then in the middle, we kind of do YouTube videos and paint for the craft shows that we take our signs to and peddle our wares. And then up front, we have workshops. So
it's kind of crazy because everybody talks about when you're in content creation more so, but when you're in pretty much everything, they're always telling you diversify your streams of income.
Yeah.
And you guys have like, so now you have the kit business, you have the content creation business, you have the workshop business. Yeah. I mean, you're just like, you're not only taking it literally, you're taking it to the extreme. It's impressive.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just iterative growth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about that in the last recording that you guys aren't like, you didn't move into like a 300,000 square foot warehouse, you know, and buy two semi trucks for carting your kits across the country for your other warehouse. You're growing at a rate that actually makes sense. And because you're not overgrowing too fast, you're not flaming out, you're not running everything into the ground, or you're not going to have a crazy spike that you can't sustain. I think it's actually really smart.
Well, that, and we're trying to stay out of debt.
That sounds like a good idea.
Like, debt is a business killer, so we're trying to stay out of debt. So we're only growing as fast as our revenue will allow us is what's happening.
I do feel like we've just been kind of chugging along year after year, chugging along. Like right now, you know, we do have that warehouse space in the back. And when, you know, when we were getting deliveries from big semi trucks at our house at the back of our garage, we were having to manually take them off the truck.
One
the
by one, like sheets of MDF.
We'd have to pull it off the truck by hand. And they would just stand there and look at us like, "Oh, what are these two yahoos?"
And if there was a new driver, they'd be like, "Oh, I heard about you guys.
They warned us about you."
And now, you know, now we have the warehouse space, which is great, but we have a
manual, like a manual forklift,
like a pallet jack.
Yeah, but it's a pallet stacker, so I can get trucks, and take the stuff off, but it's manual.
Yes.
It's
heavy. So now we can get the wood, you know, a stack of wood off of the semi truck. So we're feeling kind of big because we can get this wood off. But you have to, with everything you've got, give it a big tug. And
it's hundreds of pounds at that point. And those are little tiny wheels.
And they still laugh at us. They still know who we are.
They still do the old, "Oh, I heard about you guys."
We still know about you. That's amazing. It's so cool because it feels like watching you guys grow, it's kind of cool. Your YouTube channel is growing really, really well. Like you're at 94,000 ish subscribers. So that's growing steadily. Hey, you know what? It's growing. I mean, that's all your indicators are moving up, and it's good to see because I know how discouraging, you know, from my own personal experience, I know how discouraging it can get when everything's flat. I think I'd rather have decline than flat. Because decline, at least you go, okay, it's not working. I can put less energy into it, right? Flat, you're going to maintain that energy and not get any growth from it. So you guys are actually on the right end of the swing. You're moving upward. Up every time I talk to you, it's a little more. And we figured out the last time we chatted But the first time you guys were on, you were at like 5,000-ish subscribers on YouTube, which blows my mind because you were like my TV people. Like I told you the first time you were on, I was like, oh yeah, it's Friday. It's like it's you guys, it's Evan and Caitlin, it's David Picciuto. Those are the three people I watch every single Friday. And then the next time you came on, it was like, oh yeah, no, you were in the 50-ish area. And now you're at 100. I mean, it's like, just like that, just boom. Tim and Garrett machine just keeps growing.
So we seem to be gathering about 50,000 every time we talk to you. So let's go ahead and talk next week. I think it's you that bring the.
Well, technically, you haven't picked up 50,000 since the last time we talked. I just want to, but that was 3 days ago. So. No, it's really good. I like when I see people, you know, particularly people I like and particularly people who have been cool to me. You know, I watch what you guys do, and I like how your vibe in your videos has always been, you know, we do this to show you how to do this.
Yes.
You know, one of the things I love, and I've told you guys this in the past, I love the fact that you aren't like you aren't product pushers. You're not like a pair of people that just get like the latest, you know, you're not talking about Raid Shadow Legends and, you know, Surfshark VPN and all this stuff. You guys actually go out there. You're like, here's a project we make. We sell this, but you know what? You can learn a couple of techniques watching it. We're going to make it real easy for you. And you can follow along here. You can buy it, whatever. Thanks. Goodbye. And it's like, perfect. Perfect. Make everything approachable. I love it.
Well, I mean, it's funny that you brought up the VPN one, and they've emailed us, and they're like, and I was like, no, I don't use a VPN. Nobody that watches our channel would use a VPN.
It's off brand.
I want to peddle it. No, thanks. Yeah.
I understand there are a lot of channels that are like, particularly in the arts and crafts space, that they'll do a sponsorship like that. And they'll outright say, you know, this is to keep the lights on. I'm okay with that. Those people are at least being honest. Like, yeah, we know this is off brand. Like, but I would prefer it to not have to watch, you know, we're here making this amazing door hanger, but you know what has door hangers in it? Raid Shadow Legends. You know? It's like, no, I don't want to see that.
Well, I mean, what we've seen is if we just show you how we do it and we show you the tools that we use, you know, people have been very receptive to us being genuine and just showing you like the tools that we use. Like I couldn't get the pass through to work on the P2. And I was like, look, these are the 5 mistakes that I made. And I ended up breaking it.
Yeah.
But today for this week's video, it actually worked and it worked correctly. I followed all the instructions this time. I didn't skip anything.
I felt a little bad for poor X-Tool because we had to end up putting out a, this tool works video. We broke it. But we were too far down the road and we were too late in the week to turn around and get it fixed and get it working correctly. So at least we'll redeem ourselves and show that the tool really does work. That's what I told them. I was like, it really does work. This is what we did.
So I'm not trying to sell you on it. I'm just trying to tell you that I enjoy it. And that's the only thing I wanted. I don't want to feel salesy. I'm not
right.
He's the worst salesman
I am
ever.
The worst salesman. Even at the craft shows, I'm the worst salesman.
Was it the P2 that had, or was it a different machine that had the conveyor belt and that was just an attachment for it? Is that the one we're talking about? Or because that
was the
P2. Yeah, because I'm not going to lie to you. I watched that video. Kathy and I watched that video together. We just happened to be sitting on the couch like, oh, let's watch the new Kim and Garrett vid. And I just put it on. And we're watching, and every single time that machine turned on, it was another failure, and it was another failure. And I'm like, boy, it takes balls to put this video out. And it's not because it was like a disaster or bad. It's because, you know, I know that X-Tool put that machine out in your hands, right? Mm-hmm. I know that they want you to show it in its best light. And I also know that a lot of people wouldn't have the guts to go, hey, they sent us this and it doesn't work. Now, granted, it was operator error, and it was you were getting closer, as the process was going. I'm like, okay, so it's
I learned this. Okay,
it's clearly not the machine. It's clearly not the machine. And when it didn't work at the end, I was like, well, that was kind of anticlimactic. But then you said you were going to make another video. And I'm like, all right, cool. And I really ended up liking it because it's like, oh, so he didn't just unbox this machine and it magically works. Like, I love that because that makes me want to try a machine like that even more, knowing that, oh, yeah, you might have issues with it, but eventually you'll figure it out. You'll get it working.
Yeah, we decided to put it out because I was like, look, somebody's going to have one of these issues.
Absolutely.
Not all of these issues. If I've had these issues, somebody else is going to have these issues.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should just put it out like it is and name it like how to break your, how to break your
what not to do.
Just put it out there and save people a couple hundred bucks and having to fix the belt.
Yeah.
And all it really turned out to be is a screw.
Yes.
No way.
We got it fixed and it was just tightening the tiniest screw,
the tiniest screw.
Yeah. Yes.
So there's a cog and it sits on the, like where the wheels sit on and the cog is supposed to turn the thing. Well, the screw in the cog came loose.
It wouldn't turn the belt. This, because it wasn't tight, it wasn't holding on tight.
You're slipping.
It wouldn't turn the rod. Yes.
Yeah.
So wow.
Yeah. So I got in there and I gave it like a quarter turn and I was like, oh my God, it's working.
Hey, I can feel it. I can feel already.
It goes from gliding on the belt to actually the belt pulling on it. And it's like, oh, that's what it's supposed to do. Wait, this might actually work now.
Yes.
So
that's great.
And I think that was from all the popping out and the grinding and it was too tight. And,
I loved it. Even when you guys use lasers, like you've used lasers, the tools you use are tools that the average person can buy. You're not using crazy equipment. I mean, I know you have crazy equipment in the warehouse. You have the 100-watt lasers, which of course you need them. You're running a business, but the machines you show yourself using for your videos are machines that, you know, you and I can easily buy. And it's like, yeah, this is approachable. I think that's the theme that comes out in all your videos. They're very approachable. You're not crafting over my head with tools I can't afford, doing things I can't possibly achieve. So
we're just trying to show our friends how to do something, you know, and it might not be new to you, but hopefully you'll pick up a tip or a trick during.
Right.
That
is one of the things that Garrett always says every time we do a new video, even if we've done something like this before, like a new porch leaner, he's like, okay, what technique is new about this one? I need something new to show them that we maybe haven't shown in the past. Like, what is the technique, Kim? And I'm like, I don't know, Garrett. The technique is, look at this cool new porch leaner.
Well, I watch a lot of you. I mean, I'm not going to lie, you know, and this is not me putting my nose up in the air and saying I'm a great, amazing human being. I watch a lot of your videos and I know how to do most of the stuff I see you guys doing. But every video, without fail, there's one little nugget where I go, that's a good idea. Like, I like that. And, you know, like I was one of the things that I've really gotten more comfortable doing is painting my stuff without using rattle cans. Cause you know, you would think I was a damn graffiti artist with the number of rattle cans that I had in my shop, but you know, seeing you guys constantly using like mini rollers and like regular paint. And it's like, I could do that. Sure. Why am I bothering with rattle cans all the time? Like I can just, you know, and like, okay, cool. And you know, leaving stuff in the lasered frame, painting it, and then pulling it out so you get those nice clean edges. It's like, that looks so much better. Like, it's just like, okay, I'm starting to understand why you guys do things the way you do. Because even someone like me with a lot of experience, I watch your stuff and I learn something. So I can only imagine if you're like a rookie just learning everything, like, oh, there's a lot of meat on that bone for them.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Like, we've put in our 4,000 signs. Easily, like just 5 years ago or 4 years ago, we were selling at our local farmers market, just peddling our wares there. And now we go to about 18 shows, like real craft shows with tens of thousands of people that walk through. So we have to produce like so many a week so that we can have the inventory to go. So we were forced to learn how to paint them fast and neatly.
That's right, because you're not just selling the kits, you're selling completed, completed so projects we also.
Well, yeah, we also do the craft shows. Yeah, and you know, the funny thing is, we can see that our audience, as our audience learns what we've been showing them, because they do pick those things up, then we're showing them other things. Okay, we've shown you how to use the rollers, we've shown you how to use the exterior house paint so they weather well, and then you're, the next thing is, oh, I need to show you, you know, how to do it quickly. How do I do this and batch it out quickly? And then lately we've been showing how can you tweak some of the designs that you might purchase from us. So we've been doing some AI classes and some AI tips, not just a class, but kind of AI tips and little tidbits that you would catch in the video. I don't want to make the whole video in Adobe Illustrator course and how to, but we sometimes will take a good maybe 10 minutes.
10 minutes. And I try to show keep it short. I don't wanna put somebody into like a zombie state watching me do Illustrator.
Right, yeah. Make it quick, make it fast. You should be able to pause it and see what we're doing if you did want to follow along. But if you're not gonna do the Adobe Illustrator part, it should clip along fast enough that you're watching and it looks pretty cool. And then we can move on for the rest of the video. But
and fun fact, it's all real time. I do it that fast, real time, one take.
Sometimes,
well, like the hair clip and the
that was
real time. Mm-hmm. So I try to do it real time, only so that I try to do it fast enough where somebody would be able to hit pause, but not go down a rabbit hole on something. I try to tell you what I'm doing as I'm doing it, but very quickly so that you can pause it, but it doesn't bog down the video.
It would be very easy to over-explain and get over-involved, especially when you're doing screencasts. Like I've done a few on my channel, and what I've noticed is that your brain and your hands don't think the way you think they think. And it's like you're trying to explain a process that you're not really thinking about. And you're like, yeah, just click here. It's like, no, dumbass. They don't understand what click here means. You have to tell them what you're clicking and why you're clicking it and what it does. And it's funny how you realize how second nature it becomes. And I think that actually, you know, it's great because you understand it, but I think that actually makes it harder to teach. Because you're not aware of what you're doing.
Master of the shortcut keys.
Yeah, I'm a shortcut
same. King.
And so it's so hard to follow because, you know, control C, control V, control shift, control whatever, whatever, undo it. And I was like, nobody stop. Nobody's going to know what you're doing right there.
My biggest adaptation with Illustrator for the iPad was that there are no shortcut keys. And it's like, oh, I like my brain doesn't work that way in Illustrator. Like I know the keys. My hands go to the keys without thinking about it.
I hate Illustrator for iPad. I don't use it. I refuse it. I got an iPad because I thought, hey, I could do it on the road.
Can't teach an old dog new tricks. That's
yeah. There are
is.
No shortcut keys.
The whole paradigm is different. One of the things that I do like, and I really wish they'd figure out a way to get it into Illustrator on the desktop. The pencil tool on Illustrator from the iPad is the literal best thing ever.
I don't know.
Needs to be on the desktop version because there is a pencil tool on the desktop version. It is nothing like the pencil tool on the iPad, and the pencil tool on the iPad will change your life.
He doesn't know because he refuses to try it.
I don't use a mouse, and I don't use a mouse. We have that discussion all the time around the office. Kim and Tanner to gang up on me because they are mouse users. I'm a trackpad user, so I can draw with my
fingers.
I don't know how the hell you do that.
So I'm a trackpad and shortcut keys, and I can draw with my finger like I would with the pencil.
That's wild.
Well, I've been using Illustrator for 20 years, 20-something years.
It's funny. We literally just had this conversation this week because he was like, no, look, watch what I can do with my finger. And he said, you can't do that with a mouse. And I was like, oh, yes, I can. And I showed him. And I was like, I couldn't do it with my finger, though.
I can't do it with a mouse. My circle was all janky. But
now I'm all spoiled because on every computer I have some kind of pen. So on my On my desktop that I use the most, I have a Wacom tablet. On my Surface Laptop Studio, I have the Surface Pen, the new flat one, the nice one. And on my iPad, I have the Pencil. So it's like I'm always like reaching for that first. I even have one of those, and I don't have it handy here, but I have one of those super sexy gloves. The ones that cover. Let me tell you something. People mock those. Get one. And if you get one, you'll understand why they're amazing. Oh, man, you have to get
Michael
one.
Jackson and around the whole house.
He was part of his in his stocking for Christmas. Yeah. And he was like, look at this thing.
Well, that was one of my complaints with the iPad. Yes, I was trying to use it. And I would touch it. And mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, see, this is crap. I can't use it.
So the only app I ever had that I didn't need it for was Procreate. Procreate, you don't need it for. For some reason, their palm rejection is outstanding. I think it's because you can't actually draw with your finger in Procreate. But mm-hmm. other than that, yeah, it's great. Like when I sit here, if I know I'm going to spend extensive amount of time in Adobe Illustrator or in Photoshop, uh-huh. immediately the glove goes on because it's like, yeah, this is just going to save me so much aggravation later. It's
aggravation,
so much better.
Yes.
I've been looking at one of those little tablet
yeah,
things.
That's going to be my thing of the week now. Whatever this tablet is, I'm going to need one of those.
I actually had one. I had the medium sized one, and I had it for, I probably had it for about 12 years. And recently I was like, you know what? I just want the new key arrangement on the newer ones, like the new button arrangement and the software, because they're a little more configurable. And I bought this one refurbed on, I think I got it from B&H or Adorama, and I think I paid probably about $70 for it.
Oh,
and
okay.
They're not expensive. There is the one thing you have to do, unfortunately, it's just the way it is. Since it doesn't have a screen on it, you do have to kind of train your brain to not look at it while you're drawing. Like you have to just draw and trust that your hand is going in the right spot and learn how to pick it up and put it, because you can't do like a mouse. You know, mouse, you reach the end of the screen, you pick it up, move it here and put it down again. Can't do that with a pen. You have to kind of get used to the pen tracks the entire screen.
Oh, okay.
So it's you. There's no picking up and putting down. When you're at the end, that's the end. When you're at the bottom, it's the bottom. You know, but you get used to it. It's muscle memory. It's coordination. It's frustrating as hell for the first couple of weeks, and then all of a sudden, it's like a light bulb goes on, and it's the best thing ever. So
yeah, I mean that's what happened with the trackpad with me.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't. It was annoying to keep reaching for the mouse when I had all my shortcut keys like right here.
Yeah.
And sure. I had to reach for the mouse and then back to
I'm always amazed at people that use Illustrator without keyboard shortcuts. I'm like, how do you do that? Like,
yeah.
You see people go to the menu and it's just like, no.
Yeah, well, that's how I do it. I go to the menu and I see him. I'm just like, hey, how are you making it zoom in and zoom out like that so fast? He goes, oh.
It's
you
just control alt space bar click.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
It's just like, what? I can't even reach those.
Yeah,
keys.
My fingers don't even work that way.
And it's funny because the stuff you use the most, like you're working with text, and it's like, okay, this is the text. I want to lock this in. Shift control O. Like I don't have to think about it. I just know, highlight everything, shift control O to make it into outlines. Yeah. You know, the brain just goes there.
Write
and
that
after
down,
a while.
Know that one.
And what's really funny is like, when I use Photoshop, I'm menu guy because I don't know off the top of my head. I know nearly none of the keyboard shortcuts in Photoshop. The only two apps I know keyboard shortcuts for, Premiere and Illustrator. And I know a lot of the shortcuts. Like my brain works that way. But when it comes to like Photoshop, even Lightroom, which I use more than Photoshop, like, nope, not happening.
Yeah, Photoshop is probably my second most, and I've probably been using that for like 25 years.
Yeah.
And the only thing that really gets me between the two, I'm able to shift some of the keys over and everything. It's in Illustrator, you have to hold shift to resize.
Mm-hmm. To resize proportionally, yeah.
And in Photoshop, you hold shift to not do it uniformly. Yeah,
I'm not going to say I do that every single time.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I do that every single time, but I do that every single time.
Control Z, I do in my sleep. Man, the other day I did something in real life and I was like, I wish I could do Control Z.
Yeah.
You make a turn onto the wrong street and you're like, can I control Z myself back to where I was?
Yes. Just give me two control Zs, I'll be good.
Yeah.
The last time you guys were on, I called the episode Kim and Garrett Industries because of the amount of stuff you had developed for your your side hustle, which ends up becoming your hustle. Let's see. The first time, I'm trying to remember, I think the first time you were on is when Kim said she was quitting her day job. I think that was the first time you were on?
I think the first time we both still had day jobs.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So then it was the second time you said you were quitting your day job.
Yep.
And you guys were talking about how big everything was getting. And I was like, oh, wow. It's like every time you guys come on, there's some big thing that you want to talk about. And I have it on good authority. there's another big thing coming down the road for you guys. And it's like, I swear I need to schedule these more often because then I'm just going to keep pushing you guys along. So what's happening?
Well, you know, we got to the point where we try to provide the things to everybody that we use.
Yep.
And
let
we
me
decided,
offer these things available to you, all the stuff that we use.
Everything that we use is available to you. And we decided, you know, we'd provide SVGs and kits and everything. The only next step for us, the logical next step, was to have our own paint brand. So we started our own paint brand and actually got delivered yesterday.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh. Finally. Yeah. We've got gallons and gallons and gallons of paint that we can label as our own. What was challenging or...
Yeah, Kim had to do all of this upfront work working with the manufacturer, and there was a lot of back and forth and here's a sample. No, I don't need this and that.
Testing because, it out, choosing the colors, matching to what I use today.
One of the differences with our paint, our craft paint, is it's outdoor craft paint. Mm-hmm. So it has the UV and the weather resistant properties, just like house paint. But to get that in the poppy colors like craft paint, they had to formulate like new formulas for being able to accept these poppy colors, apparently.
Yeah, wow. he was funny when he was like, I don't have a formulation for that color pink or that lime green. Lime green is, people don't paint their houses lime green, I guess. Or I guess you're seeing it now, like doors. Haven't you seen like doors lately?
So.
But he was like, we're going to have to formulate some of these blends for some of these bright colors. So
can get a lot of testing.
Yeah. He sent us some to test out. And I was like, okay, one coat.
And then it was always, I was always the A-B test. She's like, okay, ready?
Yes. Yeah.
Which side?
I was like, which one looks better? This one, this same color blue, you know, this blue or this blue? And sometimes he was like, I can't tell the difference.
They're both blue. What's the difference? You go through two different formulas.
Yeah.
So.
That's crazy. Like bringing a product to market's difficult as it is, but like, you're not paint experts. I mean, you're experts at using paint. I mean, you use a lot of paint, but developing a line of paint is like, wow.
I think that's kind of where it came in. They'd send us something and Kim would paint with it and be like, no, it's not covering well enough. And the yellow is too thin. And they'd send her more and she'd paint with it and she'd send them back notes. And they'd send her more and she'd paint with it and send them back notes.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing how much control the manufacturers actually have over that. And when you use like cheap craft paints and they don't really cover, it takes like two or three coats to cover. And you see what a quality of, like I have in my craft room. I have some, you know, I was talking the last time we talked about, I use a lot of the Michaels, whatever the craft mind, whatever their house brand craft acrylics are, and they work fine. You just got to do a couple of coats. But I also have some Liquitex soft body acrylics, and those, you pretty much, there is nothing you can't cover in one coat with that paint. Like it's much more expensive. It's probably about four times as expensive, but it covers super duper well. And it's like, oh, so realistically, that's what makes this cheaper. Like they don't cover as well. They're not as pigmented. The base is thinner. That's right. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, and you know, but you only learn that through doing it. It's like, I can imagine like going to these guys like, yeah, this has got a cover in one coat. And they're like, one coat? What are you, crazy?
Well, that was the other thing, you know, when we started, and I know I mentioned this before when we talked last time, the funny thing was when we first started to talk to them and I said, okay, you know, what formulations do you have? And he gave me all these different kinds of paint that they offer. And I had to narrow it down. I was like, I don't want your cheapest paint, but I'm not trying to buy the most mm-hmm. expensive paint you have either. Keep me somewhere in here, but I need it to be weather resistant. And he goes, well, you know, you could just buy the bases.
And this was on speakerphone.
Yeah.
Here it was like, oh no.
It was like, I could just sell you the bases and then you could tint it. Yeah. He
was like, oh. And I immediately started Googling.
He did. Like, not even joking, while I'm still on the call, he's like, oh, you can buy the tinter. You can buy the tinter. And I was like, no, I am not trying to. Do you remember at Lowe's before it was all computerized and they had the little manual one where you put this much and you set the dial and you do this much and then you push the whole thing down and then it would mix it? I was like, I'm not trying to do that. We're barely painting enough signs, getting videos out, and I've got to be out there checking out mixing paints and then formulating the color blends.
I was like, like, small blend. Yeah. Limited edition.
Yeah.
That is cool, though. That is cool, though, that you got them to make a UV protectant, outdoor tolerant paint. Like, that's, see, this is what I like about this whole idea. It's because you guys just aren't making a craft paint. You're actually making something that's going to differentiate what you're offering. You know, and if you charge a premium because you're making a smaller batch of it than, you know, a large, you know, craft store would make, it's understandable because one coat outdoor, you're good to go. This is all you need. I kind of understand it. Like I get it. It's bold, but since you're selling the kits anyway, it kind of makes sense to offer the paints also.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was going to say a few minutes ago is it's hard to keep saying, oh, we offer this in our store. We offer this in our store. Oh, well, what kind of paint do you use? And I just kept throwing it out to the other paint manufacturer and people were just going out, buying it out. It's like, we need to sell paints. And I mean, we have our Country Chic label and they're chalk paints, but they're not the best for an outdoor sign. So, you know, I want to be honest and transparent. We can't really use this Country Chic for what we're doing for the outdoor door rounds. I'll use it when we do furniture and things like that. I do love their paint. I love those guys over there.
Yeah, I love those guys that we cool work company. With.
Yeah. But, you know, if you're going to be doing an outdoor door round, you really need it to be durable. You need to be weather resistant. You need to be UV resistant. And I was just having to send customers on their merry way. So I was like, no, it was Garrett that said, if I have to say their name one more time, I'm going to lose it. And so he goes, we have got to say our own paint label.
I jumped on Google and I was like, how to find a paint manufacturer.
Yeah.
And I was like, here, we got some call these people, Kim.
Yeah. And we did. So we did it, you know, and we made it happen. That was the first time.
Well, in our past lives, we did these type of studies with vendors.
Mm-hmm.
So I used all the same type of documentation and everything. And
we did. We created a little
decision analysis and resolution framework that we followed to come up with the best
solution,
the best vendor, the best manufacturer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How much is it? How well is it? You know, can I get the quantities that I want? Can I get the colors that I want?
We listed out all of our all of these requirements, and then we
weighted them,
ranked them, and then we would call and ask these questions to answer, get our requirements answered. And we whittled it down to like three of them, and then we called and had more questions for them, deeper questions. And then the one like small manufacturer out in like, where is he?
I keep
St. Louis. That's right. St. Louis? St. Louis. Yeah, Mount
Arch. I was just going to say Ohio. I couldn't remember.
No, Ohio are my people.
Yeah.
He's out of St. Louis. But anyway, small guy, and that's the guy that was like, you can do it yourself.
Yeah, was he like, was so fun to talk to. He goes, you know, I could just sell you the basis and you can mix it. And I was like, maybe later.
Do you guys, at any point in the process, I have some experience with manufacturers in my past career, and at any point did it start to feel a little bit scary? Like, you know, you start seeing like minimum order quantities and you're like, I got to order how much of this? Like, how much do I have to commit to doing this now?
There were some terms that I didn't understand. And I don't even know if I really remember, but it had to do with the shipping and
FOB.
Yeah. I had to look that up. I
still don't. Everyone has to look it up. They're like, what the hell does that even mean?
Yes. And I was like, I don't, you know, I just remember thinking, I was just taking notes. Right. Yeah. Well, we'll look into that. So that one, and I talked to my sister. My sister in a past life would order stuff from manufacturers overseas. She's been to factories, and I was like, okay, can you help me with this process? And she didn't really give me a lot. I don't remember. I remember thinking, that's not helping me. I need more information. So just, you know, it's one of those things where you start doing your due diligence, Googling things. And
I mean, it's been a year in the making. We started this August of last year is when I got off of Alive, and I was like, if I have to say their name one more time, I'm like, that's it, I'm Googling it. That was like last August, and we just got it in yesterday. So,
well, the other thing was, you know, we got it to the point where we knew exactly what we wanted. We knew what we were going to get. We knew who we were going with. Then it was time to, you know, put up or shut up kind of thing. I had to put the money down, and it was like the lowest point of the year. And I was like,
and I was there with my credit card.
Right. He is ready to go. He is very confident with his paint thing. And I was like, not yet. I don't think we should spend the money yet.
Kind of how it's been this whole endeavor has been that way. I'm like, I need a big laser. And she's like, let's do a small one.
Let's start with
a giant building. Let's start with a smaller one.
It's so cool. I've been through, I mean, I could totally relate to like going through the process. Like, I've been through the process with manufacturers in China, and luckily my first few experiences, like the manufacturers took pity on me, and it was like, they were very calm and patient. I mean, as calm and patient as Chinese manufacturers are, you know, they're generally like, yeah, we have time. You have like one day, you know, that's your time, but we have time. That's one whole day. You have one whole day. Like, I remember the first time I had to design a box for a product, you know, I had no idea how to use Adobe Illustrator. This was 2018. I use Adobe Illustrator almost every day now, but this was 2018. I had no idea how to use Adobe Illustrator. So they send me die lines for the box, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, oh, cool. So I bring it into Photoshop, because this is all I knew how to use, and I edit it. And my boss is like, you need to get this done by tomorrow. I'm like, yeah, not a problem. I'm going to nail this. I do the whole thing in Photoshop, and I'm looking at it, and he goes, looks great. Send it over to China. I was like, perfect. I send it over. I get an email from them. What's this? What do you mean? I did, you know, you sent me the guidelines and I filled them in. It's like, and he goes, yeah, this is like, might as well be a JPEG. Like, what am I supposed to, we can't do anything with this. I was like, well, I don't know what to do. I've never done this before. He goes, this needs to be, what did he say? This needs to be EPS.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I went, oh God. And I knew immediately, it's like, oh God, I have to learn how to use Illustrator. So I said, how much time do I have? He goes, you have 2 days, because after that, we're going to have to delay you a month.
Oh.
So I tell my boss, and I'm like, I've got 2 days to learn Adobe Illustrator. He goes,
I was gonna ask you guys didn't go find somebody.
Yeah, I don't know how you did it, because I could not do what I do without me being able to say, how do I do this? How do I do this other thing? Why does this look like this? You know,
it was a mess. And you know, it's funny, because now I look at how I did that first box. I'm like, it's a miracle that package ever got made, because Like I sent him the thing and he goes, what font is this? I never get asked that anymore because I already know, like if I'm sending over die lines for a box, it's like, no, just make them into outlines. Then they don't even need the fonts. Just send it over. Right. But it was funny because I didn't know that at the time. Like I knew nothing. It's like, yeah. Or I would send something and I have all local graphics from my desktop on everything, you know, photos, product shots, whatever. And I'd send it to him and he'd just have placeholders in the whole thing and be like, no, you have to embed. You have to embed. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, and Gary was just modifying a file today and somebody had asked about something that they had ordered and he was looking at it and he goes, man, this is like a season one file. I am so much better now. Well, and he was cleaning it up. And
making a cut file and thinking in 3D was so much different than how I used Illustrator up until now. Like I was a graphic designer, so it was about just getting a clean lines and clean fonts and shading. And then I would take it into Photoshop and really make it realistic and stuff. You don't have to do that nowadays, but
no,
that's how I used Illustrator.
Sure.
To get like a mock-up and some fonts. And now it's like, you're taking, there's it's flat. Like there's no shading.
Mm-hmm.
It's flat, but now you got to think in 3D. Of what you want,
layers
and what you cut through.
Now I've got to merge these so that I can put this other thing on top of it.
And as a designer, I would just hide half of the object behind another object. And you hide it with shading and it'll just peek through. And there's like a whole iceberg down here. And then look at this piece. You can't do that with cut files. It just cut everywhere. So that was a little bit of learning curve. Not think like a designer anymore.
A couple of weeks ago, I had to go back to one of the first files. So I got my Glowforge in December of 2018. And I got it Christmas Eve 2018. Like that was the day it arrived. FedEx showed up. They showed up 5 days early. And because I didn't even know they were coming. And all of a sudden, I get a knock on the door and it's like, FedEx. I'm like, from? He goes, I don't know. He goes, it's like 120 pounds. It's a huge box. I'm like, oh my God. My eyes just widened. I was like, oh my God, it's here. So I got so excited, but I had no idea how to use Illustrator at the time. And realistically, if you're using a laser and you're not making vectors, you're doing it wrong in most cases.
Yeah.
And I had to pull up one of those files a couple of days ago because I wanted to reference it to make something else for a client. And I opened it up and I'm like, this is a damn mess. What the hell were you doing? What were you thinking? Like, I'm looking at like, it's sloppy. Yeah, it's sloppy. Everything, all the lines are all one color, which is like rule number one of working with a laser is you know, your cuts, your engraves, your scores, all different colors. Doesn't matter what they are, just so it sorts it into steps. Didn't know that. I was just making vectors and what I ended up doing. One of them. I made the same vector and I spread it out over an artboard so that I could break it apart in the app and say, this is step one, this is step two, this is step three, instead of just going, no, this is one step, two step, three step. So, but you learn. And you know, you can't, the point being, and for those of you listening that are trying to figure out why the hell I'm babbling about this, you can't break it. You'll make your life more difficult and you'll learn quickly how you're making your life more difficult and you will fix your stuff. Yeah. But you can't break it. You can't ruin it. You can't make it so that it's unrecoverable. Just, well, at least doing that, you can anyway.
Yeah. Well, Kim likes to save over top of files, so.
Well, that's pretty much breaking it permanently.
Well, I love auto saves because I'll go in there and I'll be like, I don't like this color. I don't like this font. So I'll change it up and then I'll exit out. And then I'm like, oh.
Yeah, no more undo history. It's gone.
Or I can't even save as. You know, after I do it, I'm like, yeah, that looks good. Now I want to save it as something else. Too late. I already wrote over it because it's auto saving. And I'm so like not used to that.
And now, all about the version control.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. One of the things. One of my favorite videos that you guys did a couple of years ago, you did a video where, Garrett, you taught Kim how to use Adobe Illustrator on the island in your kitchen.
Yeah.
And you were showing her how to use it. And I'm just watching it going, Anne has more patience than I do. Like, it's like, because at that point I wasn't like completely familiar with Illustrator, and clearly you knew a lot more than I did. And I was watching it and I was learning along with Kim, going, oh, that's what that button does. Like, you were showing off how to do things. I'm like, I didn't know what that tool did. I didn't know what that tool did. I didn't know what that, but I'm watching, and I watched you, Kim, really start to catch on. And I was like, wow, he's either a really good teacher or she's just brilliant, or who knows, maybe it's both. I'll just say it's both, because I love you both. But it was a great video, because I watched you go from 0 to 60 on camera, and it was so impressive to watch. And from what I'm hearing, it looks like it's stuck because you're still doing stuff.
I know enough now to I can do my own stuff now. As a matter of fact, funny enough, we just did a video maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago that was secret sign design. Mm-hmm. We each designed a sign because we were going to put out 2 new signs, and the other one wasn't going to see it or anything. And then we just had to hand it to the other one to paint sight unseen. So you had to basically figure out what the color scheme is, put it together.
No instructions, no pictures. You just get handed.
We
a
just thought it would
MDF.
Be fun to just kind of like, here's a sign. Figure it out. And he handed me a sign and I had to figure it out. But the funny thing was, as I was going through and making my file, I couldn't ask him little things. And I was like, okay. So I was doing, we did like a little vlog as we went along. Hey, here's what I'm doing here. We couldn't come up with, we had to think of the idea, right? Like on camera. And so I was like, okay, this is what I think I'm going to do. Let's go out here and find some inspiration. All right. I think this is what I want to make. And then I did the design, grabbed all these elements, but then I had to make it into a cut file. And so I was like, all right, guys, I'm going to make this into a cut file. I'll be back after I'm done. And then I came back on camera and said, okay, step one of making this a cut file, I don't know how to do it. Cause I had did this text on path. So I did text on a curve, and then I was like, well, now
that's
how do
not
I
gonna
make
cut
that outlines. I don't know how to make that outlines and make it a graphic. And so I had to do some, I had to Google it and figure it out myself. I didn't have Google over here to really
the
fast,
old human, so. Google.
Yeah. I just tell you to go to path expand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Object
expand.
He could have
told me really quickly, but I was like, okay, now I got to figure this out myself.
I think the first thing, one of the first things that, you know, that you learn about Illustrator, and most of the time you learn it the hard way, is what you see on the screen isn't what's there. And I think that's what people just truly don't understand about Illustrator. Cause, and they, you know, you'll hear people say like, it's so confusing. I agree. If you're just looking at what's on the screen and thinking that that's what's there, but everything you create in Illustrator is a process. You make it, you shape it, you do it, and then you take it and you expand it. And when you expand it, you're kind of like, someone used the analogy, I forgot what her name is. She does Illustrator tutorials. She's absolutely fantastic. And she used the analogy of expanding is like baking a cake. It's like all the ingredients are kind of separate and just kind of sitting there and whatever. But once you expand it, you bake it, you've locked it in. Now it's a cake. And I'm like, that's a perfect analogy, because that's exactly what it is. You know, when you make the arced text, it looks great. But if you go to cut that on the laser, it's going to cut a straight line, because in Illustrator, it's a straight line. And you have to expand it, and people get confused between expand appearance and expand and making outlines. But that just comes with experience. Like, it's got, once it's second nature, it works. But yeah, I totally feel your pain. I had to learn that in 2 days.
That's a lot of Googling.
That is a lot. I don't know how you did it, honestly.
I don't either. Honestly, but I'm glad I did, because there was so much overlap between my former job and what I was doing in my side hustle, that it was like, oh, I could sit at work and do Skillshare classes.
Yeah.
And like, I'm doing stuff for work. I'm getting educated, but I'm like, yeah, I'm also getting educated for my own business. Like,
that's right. Yeah.
You know, the overlap was amazing. And every time I learned something new, watching someone do an Illustrator tutorial, is like, oh, I can apply that at work. I can apply that in my personal life. I can apply that in my business. It's like, it's fantastic to have that overlap, because it's just, it's a great excuse to get yourself educated in something. So
yeah, we started holding second Tuesday of every month. I hold a little Illustrator class on Zoom so they can talk
for the patrons,
ask
yeah.
me questions. Yeah, for the patrons. So they can ask me questions and we do stuff in real time. Somebody asked me to help them design a sign. So we did that in real time and people got to vote on what was on the sign and stuff. And it was pretty cool. And then
have
I showed
you
them how to turn it into a cut file.
Now you like me are an Illustrator user and an Illustrator fanboy. So now I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Have you tried and or used Inkscape and or Affinity Designer?
I have. I tried, and I am so ingrained with the shortcut keys that it would take me twice as long to do something.
Now, yeah, you know what he did? He'd say, now go figure this out in Inkscape so that mm-hmm. we can show somebody else.
You know you can change the shortcut keys in Inkscape to Illustrator shortcut keys, right?
Probably.
No.
I have to.
No, you I can. Think he's saying you can. I didn't know you could.
You can. Yeah, you absolutely can. It's under the edit screen under interface. You can actually change the shortcut keys and they'll all work like Illustrator.
Oh, well then I might try it again because before I was having to use the toolbars and stuff.
Uh-huh. And the toolbars suck because the tools are all different.
The things that I needed were I just know I need V. Bring me back to my
I need V.
Hold
I
on.
Need
C real
A.
Quick. Give me V. Control shift. Mm-hmm. You know, space bar, I'm zooming in.
I'm going to send you in our Instagram chat, I'm going to send you a video that Nick from Designs by Nick, he did a very, very, very good video on Inkscape for Illustrator users.
Okay.
And it's like, it's all the stuff that's different. That's just the stuff that you have to rethink how things work. And man, some of it is so much better in Inkscape. I'm not even going to lie. It's like,
really cool. That's interesting.
I'm surprised. I was surprised by it because they just came out with 1.3, I think, of Inkscape. So it's the latest and greatest. And they've made a lot of improvements in Inkscape. So
well,
it's worth looking because.
Yeah, I will.
Not everybody wants to spend the Adobe money, unfortunately. I think it's worth it. You get a lot of bang for that Adobe buck.
Well, I use the entire suite. I
so
use
do I.
Lightroom, like you said, Photoshop. Mm-hmm. We edit
on Premiere.
Yeah, I still use Dreamweaver to do a little snippet of code to put into our website.
Is that still a thing?
Yeah, it's still a thing.
I used
back when it was Macromedia. That's how
I used Dimension. I was using Dimension to we would pitch our products. And I would use Dimension with my designs to make 3D layouts of the packaging
for
customers. But of course, now you can't do that. But you can do it in Illustrator because Illustrator has more 3D stuff now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's crazy how much you get for it. I mean, I'm $74 a month, and I was telling somebody, I was like, if I ever stop paying that, I'm probably dead.
Yeah, because
I'm out of business. If I'm doing, first of all, if I stop paying for it, I'm out of business because my business runs on Adobe stuff. Like this podcast is edited on Premiere.
Yeah.
You know, I just did the radio show. It's all done with Audition. I use Lightroom, Photoshop, and Illustrator all the time. So
I did too. Even when I was a system engineer, I was a graphic designer back in my previous life. And then when I was a system engineer, I didn't need it. And I didn't have this business going on, but I still had Photoshop and Illustrator on my computer.
He did? Yeah.
Yep. I don't know. Just in case.
Just in case. You never know.
Take something out of a photo.
That's when he was doing funny Photoshop stuff.
Yeah, Photoshop.
Just to use it.
Just for giggles.
So when I went down to the Jersey Shore, one of the things I wanted to do was I took my iPad. I've been watching a lot of videos from Caleb Gagne. And for some reason, one of his recent ones on doing designs with the iPad, with Illustrator for the iPad, really clicked. And I finally understood his process for doing his designs. And I'm like, I can do that. So I decided to take the one thing I love more than anything else, which is Pokemon. And I was like, I'm going to draw some Pokemon while I'm down on the shore. So I was sitting there on the couch while one of my nieces was playing Mario on the TV. Uh-huh. And I was just drawing Pokemon on my iPad. And I was like, this is freaking awesome. Like it's his whole process made sense. I understood the whole thing. It was like things got unlocked.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Yes. That's fun.
And it was like, but I forced myself to just do it rather than, you know, think about, oh, what do I want to, what, just look, go get, they're cartoon characters. There's a lot of them. You can go crazy. Just keep going, keep going, keep going. And you can actually see the progression. I did them in I did Gengar, then I did Squirtle, and then I did Jigglypuff in that order. And you could see, everyone saw me, that the detail level and the cleanness of the lines on Jigglypuff is way better than the first two. And it's like, and that was only three in, you know, but it's one of those, like you said, you know, just keep doing it to get the skill to kind of keep it going, keep it going. The same with Procreate.
Yeah. Put in your 4,000 hours.
Yeah. I feel like I put in 50,000 hours before I understood it, but now I'm good. Now I'm good. Now I understand it. Now it's funny, 'cause you can almost see when you're doing something like that, where you go from, I'm just putting in time doing a thing, to, oh, I understand it. Now you start seeing the improvement, the why starts to make sense, because the quality goes, and you can see the quality in turn starts going up. And that's where I'm at now, where the quality is improving. And I'm like, yes.
Or you start to impress yourself. That's what
Isn't that great when you impress yourself? You're like, woohoo!
Did I just do that? And it was funny, because I did the first one I did, and I'm looking at it and I go, this needs a background. I don't really want to do the background in Illustrator though. Like, I was like, why would you do it in Illustrator? Just open Procreate, make a background, drop it in behind. And I'm like, yeah, I never would have thought to do that. Like, I did it, and I did this like really cool, like lens flares coming up and clouds, and the colors were every, and I'm like, damn, dude, you did that. Like, you did that, you know? And I don't get that feeling a lot with stuff I do. Like, BJ Dell is another one. He teaches Procreate on YouTube, and I've done some of his tutorials. And when I'm done, I'm like, oh my God, like, I just did that. And then, of course, you know, reality hits.
Write these names down. Check them out.
Oh, yeah. There are some really, it's amazing how many people, when all these apps got really powerful for the iPad, it's amazing how many people jumped on the, I'm going to teach you how to do this the right way bandwagon. And it's like, now, for the most part, the most used tools in my life are all on Illustrator for the iPad. And between Illustrator and Procreate, I can pretty much get by without my laptop, with a few exceptions, but for the most part, it's kind of crazy, actually.
I might have to revisit the iPad then.
Yeah, he keeps saying it. Like, he keeps taking it home, and he's like, I might do this on the iPad. And that, I hear that a lot. And he takes the iPad with him.
It's frustrating.
And he's in his backpack, and he's like, no, I got to get this done. I'm just going to do it.
Whip open my laptop. I'll do it in half the time.
Yeah. You know, it's like learning... It's learning. I'll tell you exactly what it's like. I'll give you a perfect example of what it's like. It's like learning Castilian Spanish, which is the Spanish they speak in Spain, and then going to Puerto Rico or Mexico.
Yeah.
And you speak the language, but you don't speak the language. Uh-huh. And that's what it's like. It's the desktop version of Illustrator to the iPad version of Illustrator. You speak the language, but you don't speak the language.
Well, I feel like it's more like a unicycle. Like, I feel like I'm trying to do some kind of balancing act, drawing on it and figuring out where that hot key went or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Where it is in the menu.
Yeah, where to go now.
Just when practice.
They added two things that really changed everything. They added a shape builder, which was like, and it works so much better than the desktop one. I'm not even going to lie. It's so much easier to use. And they added that little button, you know, the alt button that they put in, that little round button that you have to hit with your thumb. Uh-huh. Well, there's another feature now. When you hold it and you drag up or down, there's a ring. Oh. So you have a whole second set of functions now that are unlocked by dragging while you're holding that little button rather than just holding it.
Oh, yeah.
It's,
yeah,
I'm telling you, it's worth revisiting.
I almost used, I broke my laptop and my laptop was no longer a laptop. It was a lap flop.
The top, the hinge broke.
It's like me, man. It's totally unhinged.
Yeah. It was.
Wow.
But I almost used the iPad.
Almost. You came so close.
Right. Instead, he hooked up a desktop we had. Yeah.
I'm going to go back to my YouTube history. There was one video I watched that's like explained how to get comfortable with the iPad version if you're very comfortable with the desktop version. And it's like, in the desktop version, you would do this. But in the iPad version, you do this. And it's like, oh my God, it's so much easier on the iPad. Yeah. Like it's
There were a few things missing last time I went in. It was something.
There's still stuff missing.
The nodes, and then there was something with image trace. And I was like,
Image trace still sucks, and there's no width tool on strokes. So you can't do the really cool artistic width stroke stuff, like make it wider in one end and narrow it in another. Mm-hmm. But you have way more brushes available, and it's like you can make the pencil pressure sensitive so that if you push harder, it makes a thicker stroke. So it's a different paradigm. They're thinking with an Apple Pencil versus thinking with a mouse or mm-hmm. in some weirdos cases, a trackpad. Can you believe, by the way, we have now been going for over an hour. Like this conversation has just flown on by.
It flew by the other day too.
Yeah, we have spent so much time talking. I feel like I should just move in with you guys. I mean, like,
you could live here at the warehouse where we practically live.
Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you something. I have been a warehouse manager. I know how to do that. So, and I'm very good with logistics, and I'm very good at speeding up processes. You ever need a guy?
Yeah.
Me know.
We always need a guy.
See how big we get.
Yeah, hopefully. Listen, you guys get big enough, I'll move anywhere. I got nothing to stay here for. Who cares? I'm sure Kathy would be like, Virginia? Cool.
The land of no snow?
Sure. Yeah.
You know what's funny? We were just talking about that a couple of days ago. She's like, when I finally leave New York, it's going to be like for a place where there's like no winter. Like, I don't want to do it. And because we were talking about there's a possibility someday of her inheriting a house in New Mexico.
Ooh.
And she's like, well, we'd have to move there and sell it. I'm like, no. I was like, no. I was like, no. If you inherit that house, we are moving there and we are going to renovate it. She's like, it would be nice to not have winter anymore. I was like, yeah.
And they have that part of the country.
That's all right. That's all right.
No, he thinks that's cool.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Oh, as long as you got a black light, they're easy to see. I mean,
yeah. I had one as a pet once.
What?
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah.
It was cool. It looked cool. And I kept them over. I kept the black light over him. It was cool.
They look awesome under a black light, man. It's freaky how cool they look.
He was like the size of my hand. He was like an African king or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, those are the big black ones, right? The ones. Yeah. Those are huge. They get huge.
I was 19. It was a long time ago.
I was young and crazy.
Yeah. I was unhinged.
Look at that. Bringing it back.
Yeah.
When I go looking for a co-host, I'm calling Garrett first.
I'm here.
Why don't we switch over and do some Things of the Week? And what you guys didn't see was last time on Things of the Week, I told Garrett and Kim to get started. And I had to go running into my craft room to get my thing of the week, but I have it with me this time. I'm prepared. It only took two attempts, but you guys first, what is your, what do you have for us for a thing of the week?
This week.
Yeah.
This week. We've been on it several
this week.
Yeah. last time I went on this whole spiel trying to keep you guys busy while he was running off grabbing his thing of the week. This week, we actually have like a real thing of the week. Are you ready?
Cool.
You go for it.
No, we'll do it on three.
Okay.
We'll just say the name. All right, ready?
Oh, well, you give a little more context.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we'll go ahead then. You got the context.
So
ready.
we're talking about our paints, mm-hmm. and we did get our paints in, so we're ready to go. You know, it was 5 gallons of this one, and, you know, just, I think it was 109 gallons of paint. Came in, by the way, Garrett rolled over his toe with the pallet jack that came in with 109 gallons of paint on it.
Purple.
That's a different story. Mm-hmm. But so now that we've got it, that was kind of like our thing of the week. But really, what goes with that is we have been back and forth on what the paint brand name is going to be. Do we make it Kim and Garrett Paints? And I was like, no, we don't want to make it Kim and Garrett Paints. Let's make it a paint name. So we finally came up with a paint name.
And we've been working on this paint name as long as we've been thinking about paints.
We have been, and we finally settled on it. So now we're going to share with you for the first time what our paint name is going to be.
And it is?
It's Foxy Hughes.
Foxy Hughes.
Yeah.
I like it.
Foxy Hughes Paints.
Foxy Hughes Paints.
Yeah. I can. I'm envisioning what I would do with the product packaging with that name, and I'm very excited to see what you guys do with it because that is a that's a kick ass name. I like it. It's edgy. It's kind of edgy. I like it.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of what we were thinking. And we had to warm up to it. We've kicked around a lot of names.
I just walk up to the kids and stuff and the people around the warehouse, and I'll just say a name at them. And I'd be like, all right, what do you think?
No. Then they're like, no.
No. Because we had a list, we narrowed it down. So I'll just randomly walk up and I'd say the name. And like one of the names a lot of the people did not like. Like I was trying to get Foxed Up Creations.
And then they were like,
it doesn't really say paint though. No.
It's Foxed Up. I don't like that.
That doesn't give me the good vibes.
Well, also, I got to say, I appreciate the fact that you didn't, and no offense to your paint co-conspirator there, but I'm kind of glad that you didn't include the words like country or deco or like, it feels different, you know, like deco, you know, how many, was it? Deco Art is one of the brands that's in Michaels. And it's like, there's nothing wrong with that, right? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but there's every company that comes out is art or deco or craft, and it's in all the names. It's like, I kind of like that you guys are like, hey, we're a paint company. We make paint. Foxy Hughes.
Foxy Hughes.
I like it.
We're fun. We have fun colors.
Yeah. Well, and it's going to be an arm of a larger umbrella. So we've got plans. We've got dreams. We've got a name that's part of the larger umbrella, and Foxy Hughes is just one arm of it. And there are other things we have in the works that
Kim and Garrett Industries rolls on.
Well, that multiple streams of income that we talked about.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I love that you went with something a little edgier than typical. I think it's great. I really can't wait to see this line of paint. I'm very excited for you guys. This is a big freaking deal.
Thanks.
And it's a great thing of the week too. It's probably going to be the thing for the remainder of the year. And it's great. You guys have the paints, and crafting really starts picking up in the fall. You got your Halloween, you got your Thanksgiving, you got your Christmas. Like, holy crap, you guys, it came in at the right time.
For September, yes.
Yeah, we're launching in September. We're going to spend the rest of this month filling and labeling.
Nice. Are you guys doing the labeling yourself, or do they pre-label it for you, or they just send you jars and you label it yourself? Or
they send us big cans, and we're going to label it ourselves and package it ourselves for now.
We could have gone with one of the manufacturers that did it all, but they were out of our price range to do
it. Right. I'm trying to keep it affordable. Yeah. I'm trying to, you know, these guys that use our paints now, they'll go to Home Depot and Lowe's and the big box stores and get the paint samples and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I want them to be able to still buy our paints and paint the kits and still make the kits resaleable and things like that.
So. Yeah. Like we discussed, what was it, Tuesday? You know, everything that we do, we're trying to bake in money knowing that you might refinish it and sell it. So,
right.
Like, I try to keep my SVGs cheap. We try to keep our inexpensive. I keep them inexpensive.
Right, because if you're charging $10 for an SVG, I can't turn around and sell something that costs $15, including your $10 SVG, unless I sell dozens and dozens and dozens of them.
Exactly. We try to keep our kits so that you can buy the kit, refinish it, and make a profit if you wanted to. Yeah. And then we're trying to do the same thing with the paints. We don't want to price them out. So our paint price per ounce is pretty comparable with what's in Michael's. So
perfect.
We land about in the middle.
Perfect. And what sizes are you going to sell them in? I just realized I've never asked that question. What sizes are you planning on selling? Like, are you going to do like little, like the bottles, like the 99 cent bottles you get at Michael's, and then bigger jars? Like, what kind of sizes are you looking for?
Yeah, we're going to do the 2, 4, 8.
Okay.
And 16.
Yeah. Perfect. That's perfect. Those are perfect size. The 2 ounce, people think 2 ounces isn't a lot. 2 ounces is a surprising amount of paint.
Yeah.
If you're not an idiot with it, it's a surprisingly good amount of paint. Most of the paints I have are 2 ounces, and I'm only about a third of the way through most of the bottles.
Well, even to do a backer on a door round, you know, I was doing some paint kits because we currently offer paint kits with our craft kits. Anyway, I was doing making some paint kits with my daughter, and she goes, "Oh no, that white is for a backer." I was like, "Yeah, this is all you need." And she said, "That's going to do a backer." And I said, "Here, you squeeze the paint bottle into the jar." And so she squeezed it. And I was like, "Now, when you get ready to roll a backer, do you put that much paint on your plate?" And she's like,
"Nope.
No, I don't." That seems like so much more in that bottle than you would think, you know, in the little jar that we were using. She goes, "That holds way more than you think it does." And I said, "It does. You don't realize that." And that, I guess, this needs to be one of the things that we really kind of market. Hey, you know, 2 ounces will paint 2 backers or 2 coats. It depends on what color you're using. But, you know, kind of,
I was
going to
say 2 ounces will give you 2 backers. Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic. That's some pretty good coverage then, because that is something that people tend to do when they're painting stuff. They tend to over prepare and over paint. Yeah. And, you know, especially with like craft acrylics, when you dump it out, you know, you can't put it back in the bottle, and that stuff dries and it's dead. And it's like, "Oh, I got to go to Michael's now. I got to get another, because I put too much paint on my palette." You know, it's perfect. I love it. So Foxy Hughes, well, you're going to be launching that in September. I will definitely remind people when you guys do release it, because I definitely want people to patronize your paints.
Yeah, we'll send you some paints.
Nice. I love free stuff. Thank you. No one ever offers me free stuff, so I appreciate it. Well, actually, that's not technically true, because my thing of the week is actually free. So apparently, for a while, Gnomehammer Forge has been doing what he calls a waffle, because you can't call anything a raffle legally. So he calls it a waffle, where he basically takes, you know, you can buy entries into a giveaway. And one of the ways you get entries into the giveaway is if you are a patron of the Working Hands podcast, which I am. And, you know, this month he was doing a mini anvil, and I found out one night that I had won it. So here it is. And this is my thing of the week. It is a...
Oh, wow.
Handmade.
That is so cool. That is so shiny. It's like I have seen it for the first time.
It is very cool, though. I love that little thing.
So did you get to see... I didn't ask before, but did you get to see how he made that thing?
I got... So it's funny. I went back and I started watching the videos, because I'm like, well, I want to see how it was made. Now, like, it's not that I wasn't following him. It just, you know, sometimes you watch people tangentially when you're not really like, "Oh, that's cool. I like it. Sparks. It's blacksmithing. That's awesome." Mm-hmm. But, you know, once I saw that, "Hey, I won that. Now I want to go see how it was made." Yeah, and I went back and watched it.
That whole thing. Yeah.
That's and my I told thing. Him, I want to see the creating of my thing.
Right. So I told him I was so excited about it. He goes, "Well, I don't know what you're excited about." He goes, "It's really small." I was like, no, you don't understand. I make jewelry. And I have this really little jeweler's anvil. And this is now my jeweler's anvil. Like, this is it. This is much sturdier.
I think it's perfect for that. Yeah.
Exactly. Just like, you know, banging on metal, little pieces of metal. I'm not talking about big stuff. I'm not one of the crazy smiths that I know. So that was my thing of the week. It's from Gnomehammer Forge. You can find him on Instagram as Gnomehammer Forge. And if you want to enter the waffle every month, he always puts a note up when it's time to enter. And of course, one of the best ways to get an entry is to support the Working Hands podcast. Keith was a guest on here a couple of weeks ago, so you can go support them and you'll get an entry based on how much you support them. So can't go wrong there.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool thing to do.
Free stuff is awesome, and supporting podcasts is awesome. And you know who else supports podcasts? the people who support this podcast support podcasts. And those people include Matthew Serio from Artigiano Serio, Best Man Al Schultz from New York Woodworks, Scott Oram from Dad It Yourself DIY, Ed Swanson from Ed's Clocks and More, Nick Birchtold of Birchtold Design Build, Tori Decker of Tori Did It, Jake Drews of Make With Jake, Megan Chris from Onyx Designs Woodwork, Christian Neary of Warren Works, Ken Madden of Mad K Studios, David Wood of DW Wood Builds, Dean Duplantis, Chris Raley of Route 9 Signs, Jeff Stein, a.k.a. A Weird Guy, Kim and Garrett from Kim and Garrett Make It, probably one of the longest running supporters of this podcast, mind you. They're not just wonderful people. They're also very generous.
Also a good listener.
And the reason there's a YouTube version of this show, by the way, there wouldn't be a YouTube version if Garrett wasn't listening. Rory Langefeld of RLL Woodworks and DIY, Robert J. Keller, Brian Arsenault, the Seven Hills Maker, Dave Bauer of Dave Bauer Art, Donald LeBlanc of Fun with Woodworking, Ross Cave, Jeremy Spies, Grant Alexander from the Clamp Podcast, Brad Harrison of Brad's Customs, and Billy Poulton of Poulton Projects. Thank you so much to all of you who support this show financially. I could not do this without you, and I appreciate every one of you. If you can't support the show financially, hey, leave a review, share the show, shoot me an email if you have a guest in mind that might be interesting. By the way, just so you know, I have been throwing emails out like crazy the last couple of days, lining up guests. I'm starting to get responses, and hey, when I can't get a response from somebody new, I also am simultaneously checking in with friends to see if they would like to come back on. And that's how we ended up with the amazing Kim and Garrett. You know, sometimes you have to go to your friends and go, hey guys, it's been a minute. You want to come on? Sure. Okay, cool. Yeah, let's do it. Because it's always fun to record with your friends. As I told Kathy the other day, she goes, wow, you're recording it. You know, you're doing all this stuff today and then you're going to go record the podcast. I'm like, yeah, it's a friend recording. It'll be fine. It's just going to.
Yeah, that's exactly what we said today. Yep, I was like, yep. Oh, man.
Are you guys going to re-record today? And I was like, yeah,
yeah.
It's easy.
It's a breeze. It's a breeze. He's a nice boy from New Jersey. It's not a problem.
Yeah.
You guys, I've said this before and I'll say it again. You guys are two of my favorite people. You've been. Ever since I found your channel, I've just totally loved your vibe. I love you guys. And watching your growth and watching you maintain what you're doing and grow and just keep growing and growing and not just grow, but like expand what you're doing. It's been so exciting to watch. And I feel like watching you guys do it, I'm almost doing it vicariously. And it's absolutely awesome to watch. And I appreciate so much the continued support of this show. And of course, I appreciate your friendship because I think you guys are the literal best. I tell everyone that listens that you guys are kick-ass and people should be watching your YouTube channel. In fact, why don't you guys take a second and tell everyone where they can find you just in case they're new to the show.
Well, before I do that, you know, as we've chatted and our conversation took like a different turn this time rather than Tuesday. And one of the things I didn't get a chance to mention were our patrons.
Yeah, our community. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is how we continue to grow because we've built such a great patron community. So we use Patreon. They subscribe to our channel.
They're our hangers.
Yep, our hangers. That's right. So I just could not let this end without at least thanking those guys for supporting us and being there and helping to build the community because, you know, they're our friends. Yeah.
They're,
oh yeah.
They are our friends.
Yeah. Right. And on Tuesdays, they're there for our Test Cut Tuesdays. And then they are out. You know, what's so great. This is so funny.
The Zoom calls.
Well, on like Test Cut Tuesdays, they'll throw out there, hey, we've got, 50 people watching. And we got 37 likes. Let's everybody get out there and like. And they say that. Not I don't have to even say that. They're
That's
out there
fantastic.
Trying to get people out there to give us the likes and the thumbs ups and
They'll post the link to our website and stuff. It's them.
Yeah, when people ask questions,
they're better salespeople for us than we are.
Yeah. So I just had to say, hey, thanks to our community because we learn from them, they learn from us, and they really help support others when they come in. And, I know I mentioned last time when we get on those Zoom calls, you might be afraid to speak up. Not this group. Everybody feels comfortable jumping in and sharing. So,
absolutely fantastic.
I just needed to throw that out there. And where can they find us? Go ahead.
They can find us anywhere. They can Google Kim and Garrett Make It. They can find us on YouTube as Kim and Garrett Make It. Instagram, Facebook, the TikToks.
Yeah, our TikToks are funny. Garrett is really has free reign on TikTok. He doesn't have free reign on Facebook and Instagram. And then we have a super secret patron Facebook group. That's what we call it. And
I'm very active there.
Yes, he has free reign over there too. He was posting some things today, and I was like, no, I would have never let this fly.
I was making signs.
And then you can find us, of course, at our online store, kngmega.com.
Yeah. Excellent.
Thanks to you, Vincent. I hope you continue this. I enjoy listening to you every week, so don't stop. You always get a co-host if you need one.
I am never going to stop doing this, even when it feels like, where's he been? I know I took 2 weeks, but, you know, life got in the way, but I'm back. Things are back. This show is not going anywhere. This is not going to be, if I'm living, this show's getting done. And if it's not done for more than a couple of weeks,
we'll come looking for you.
Yeah. Call a coroner because I probably died. But as long as I'm living, I will be doing this show, and I think I'm pretty much alive right now. So that means there will be a show next week. Next week, actually, yeah, if my calculation is correct, my next guest will be the one and only, the inimitable Bobby Duke, which is like a big honking deal. And after that, I just found out today, John from Gen X Grown Up will be back on.
I heard that last
because time. Everybody after John was on, everybody's like, you need to have him on again. So I'm like, okay, I'll have him on again, not a problem. So John is coming on, so we have guests coming. I have a very cool family member coming on who's actually super into like 3D printing and AI art, and I think that's just gonna be fun. So I'm really looking forward to the shows that are coming up there. There may be a couple of solo shows. I'm sorry. I know not everyone loves them, but you know what? Sorry. They have to happen if you guys want a show every week. But one way or the other, I will be back again next week and for the foreseeable future. And I hope you'll join me, listen to the show, go check out Kim and Garrett. And I'll catch you next week, everybody.